What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, you're about to hear our brand new podcast, My Crazy Family. And if you like it, I need your help. To let other folks know that this show exists, we need reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you got about 10, 15 free seconds, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a quick review, and I'll make it worth your while. Send me a screenshot of that review, and I'll enter you into a contest to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So leave the review on Apple Podcasts, send me the screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. That's contest@crazyfampod.com. And later in the year, we'll randomly pick someone for that $500 Amazon gift card. So please leave that review at Apple Podcasts, then send me the screenshot. contest@crazyfampod.com. And thanks. Now, weddings should be a happy time, a celebration where people put their differences aside to celebrate the happy couple, right?
Well, you'd think so, unless Dad tried to kill Mom.
Yeah, that may kind of put a little damper on things, but the wedding is still on!
My.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. And hey, if you got a crazy family story, we want to hear about it. Just go to crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod. Share your crazy family story there with us. Or you can give us a call, 833-CRAY-FAM, 833-272-9326. Call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share your crazy family story with us completely anonymously. Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode. What's up?
Oh, do we have some good stories?
I'm ready to sit back, relax, and feel better about my family and everything around it.
Yeah, and our first story has to do with, well, having a dysfunctional family and then a wedding coming up. What in the hell do you do?
That's a very good question, especially when things are not the greatest on the front of Mom and Dad.
All right, let's dive in. It says, I'm not inviting my parents to my wedding. Basically, they were divorced some years ago. Both parents were deep into drugs. My father was extremely abusive of my mother. I even remember him loading a bullet into a gun, spinning the barrel, and then pointing at my mother and pulling the trigger.
Oh, God.
Trigger.
Wow.
Then at me, then at himself. Mm. Then he said, I guess we're all lucky. Damn it.
Wow. Well, that takes it a step further when you're playing Russian roulette with that sort of a thing.
Yeah, it does. It says this was a definite low point. Cut to a few years forward after the divorce, and he's gotten clean. My mother has too. They're both entirely different people. I can finally say that I'm very proud of my parents and I love them dearly. But my mother has remarried, and because she still fears my father and the possibility of him going crazy, she has decided to hide that fact from him. So Dad doesn't know that Mom is remarried.
Okay.
I'm not trying to say that this is unreasonable after living through what she lived through. I can appreciate that she doesn't want him to know. But here's the problem. Either I have to invite my mother and her husband and not my father, or invite my father and not invite my mother and her husband, or invite my father and my mother, but ask my mother not to bring her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can invite them all and have them make a humongous scene at my wedding.
Yeah.
So I've decided not to invite my family since they are apparently incapable of being in a single room all together.
That's probably not a bad idea.
But God, does that suck that you just can't put aside your shit.
Yeah, I mean, it totally does, but you have to deal with reality on reality's terms, and we can all say, this sucks, and it does. It totally does, but it's also kind of like, you know, when somebody's trying to find a solution to something and going, who's to blame? It's like, well, we can figure that out, but let's not go down the blame game road right now. Let's just try and figure out how to make this work. With something like this, I mean, if you want to invite them, if you had to pick the least of the evils, it would be... exactly what would probably make the most sense. You can invite mom, just have her understand, you know, don't bring your husband. Let's just not try and do that. And we'll reduce the chances of there being any sort of conflict. But I, what I'm surprised here on is that he couldn't find this out that she's remarried. I mean, that's like a public record sort of thing. I mean, unless he's like really out of being able to look that sort of thing up, which would take all of 30 seconds on Google, I don't know how he wouldn't know that.
You know, it's possible. Maybe he just isn't internet savvy. He doesn't understand that he can look for it. Maybe he's not even thinking he has to look for it. Maybe he hasn't thought that she's moved on.
How long does it say how long ago the marriage ended?
No,
that he would still have this.
It just says a few years forward.
Okay. So it's a few years.
You know, and they must live in different cities, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
God, it's just, you know, you're going to have pictures. You're going to, it's just, my dad wasn't at my first wedding.
Yeah.
It had slipped that my stepdad was going to walk me down the aisle. My dad was diabetic and had, diabetic neuropathy and really couldn't walk very well. And that's not why I didn't have ask him to walk me down the aisle. It was because he was fucking psychotic.
Yeah.
And my stepdad was more of a dad to me. But once he caught wind that my stepdad was going to even be at the wedding, he uninvited himself. So, and so did his entire side of the family. So I was missing an entire side of the family at the wedding, which turned out to be a good thing because honestly, it would have added so much stress and there would have been drama. And if you throw some alcohol into the mix, I'm sure things could have gotten out of hand. It was just better.
Well, yeah. But,
you know, you look at the pictures, which I don't look at very often, and there's an entire side of the family missing.
Sure.
I mean, it's what's not there is so obvious, you know?
But what would you have rather had? The pictures that have the crazy people in, just for the sake of having them at the wedding, because that's what everyone else does, or exactly what happened, where they uninvited themselves, and then you had a good evening?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I guess it's a reminder when I see that they weren't there, a reminder that, you know, even though I've moved on and life is good, it reminds me how fucked up things were when he was still alive. So it was just hard. You know, I was 25 and really couldn't believe that my own father was not coming to my wedding.
Sure.
But, you know, looking back, I'm okay with it now. At the time it was pretty painful.
Sure.
So I totally get what this person is talking about. It's just, it's gut wrenching. This is supposed to be a big day in your life. And you don't trust that your parents are going to be mature enough to handle the day.
I think one of the biggest things that the earlier someone learns it, the better. And that's saying what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be like, because when you're young, that's what you go out with because you've never lived and experienced so many things yet. And then you start realizing, oh, most of these supposed to's are not ever accurate. Like that's just like idyllic. And if you get a supposed to that works that way, great. That's wonderful. But so many setting that expectation of supposed to is, you know, setting any expectation for the most part is how I live by. It's like on other people, I just don't. that I'm not let down. There's certain people I know I can trust for certain things, but I don't put a lot of, and that's probably not a great trait of mine because I end up doing so many things just by myself, but they get done.
That's a great point.
But it's conditioned. It's conditioned, you know, because of years of feeling that way.
Well, and take a look too at, you know, Brides Magazine and all of these, you know, the movies, Hollywood, all of it. We all have this idea of the way that our wedding is supposed to be, especially if you are a woman.
Yeah.
You know, even as a kid, you learn this and you go running around with a pillowcase on your head. I mean, it's just
preparing for that day.
This total idea of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, you're totally built up as a child to go, this is the most important day ever. And you're practicing it from, you know, being a little kid. And boys are, that's never like played or talked about really much, although maybe today it's different. I don't know. But it really wasn't something that, you know, guys were that concerned with or really thought about. And then to have that all kind of ripped apart because parents can't be adults. It's tragic. It's not how it's supposed to be. But I think going into a day like that, you really have to, exactly what I said earlier, deal with reality on reality's terms. Reality isn't what it's supposed to be. And if that's what it is, then do what's going to make you most happy on that day. It's your day. It's nobody else's. You're not there to please everybody. You're not there to make everybody feel good. And if somebody wants the vegetarian option, you don't have it, have a fucking salad. I don't care. It's just
have
like
some fucking cake.
It's like, I'm not here to be concerned about every single one of you. It's to come and enjoy and be a part of something and not be a narcissist. I guess it's a one day you can be kind of narcissistic because it's your wedding day. But within, you know, bounds of sanity, being sane. I would just say with something like this, go elope, just go be you two. And, you know, later go have a party on your mom's side and have a party on your dad's side. And it doesn't have to be a reception.
Yeah, then you get two parties and two sets of gifts.
And people that you know, hopefully get along with one another. You don't have to ever intermingle them, but you can go and do this and have a very romantic, meaningful ceremony for the two of you, which is what it's all about, and then come back and do that. That may be the best bet for a situation of that nature. Otherwise, you're going to ruin your fucking day. The day is going to be a headache, and even if nothing happens, you're going to be on edge bracing for impact. And if impact never happens, you're going to walk away from that day going, well, that sucks. I felt like this all day, and not that you want anything to happen, but then nothing happened. And
look at the money that people pour into these weddings. And one of the things that offends me so much about the wedding industry, and I'm more than open to hearing the emails on this, if anybody wants to come at me for it. But I think it is so unfair for an industry to target these young women and get them all hyped up about something that they have no idea. I mean, these women are not party planners. They don't understand menus. They don't understand floral arrangements. And yet as soon as you get that ring on your finger, you are cast into the role of social coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow you're supposed to make it all work on your own. I mean, I know there's wedding planners out there, but most people tend to not use them. They go grab a bridal magazine or they look it up online. And they think they know how to put together this gigantic party that costs so many thousands of dollars. Just go somewhere, have a justice of the peace marry you, and like you said, come back and have a party. I'm so over the wedding DJs, all of that. It's just, and maybe it's because I was thrust into the industry as a wedding DJ at one point and just saw these cookie cutter weddings. And
oh, yeah.
All the fucking same. And they're just,
they are.
And you think it's styled to be your own wedding. No, it's not. It's a cookie cutter.
It's
costing you thousands of dollars that you could use for a down payment for your home or a nest egg that you can have in case of emergency.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a total industry that found a ton of ways to make money off of very emotional people and a very emotional state. And yeah, everything has gotten crazy and out of hand. And weddings are cookie cutter a lot of times. Oh, isn't it so unique? No, it looks just like the one I DJed last week. You know?
Exactly. I saw the same one 3 weeks ago. Identical.
Exactly. That's why, I mean, and you can be more unique if you're in having a smaller ceremony. You can do more intimate type things. I don't know. I've never been one to be big on the super large get-togethers and, I don't know. It's just to each their own, I guess. Sometimes it turns into a flaunting thing and look at me, look what I got, look all these, what I bought, look at, and sometimes it's the parents that are doing that too. That's a big thing I think for a lot of weddings where it's the mother-in-law or it's whoever, it's one of the parents' sides where it's look at all that we have, look what we're able to do. And yep. sometimes it's just utterly stomping on the face of the in-laws' ability to buy anything because maybe they're not as well off or whatever. And then one will just go overboard and do everything. Or you have the ones where nobody does shit. And it's just like, okay, kids, good luck. And and honestly, I think there should be more of that where it's, okay, you're going to get married. Okay, great. Well, majority of the expenses are going to go to you. And that will very, very quickly reel in spending when it's your own fucking money.
Yeah, it will, because your credit cards only go up so high and you have no savings because you're young.
Yeah. And when you're young like that, you only have so much time as an adult that you have concepts of how these things work long term. And it's not based on much. So the more I think one can learn from their own mistakes or live within their means before they sign the agreement, there should be more financial responsibility put individually on those people. And then maybe it does start to look like a much better idea to do something a little less grand and but be more meaningful at the same time.
Yeah, in my family, I've got a wealthy side to the family that I'm really not in touch with much anymore because they were just so narcissistic. Mm-hmm. But my cousin's wedding was easily $200,000. And the reason I know that is because they happily told everybody how much they had spent. Oh, and this was back in the 80s.
Oh, my God. So today that'd be like $500,000, $700,000 around there?
Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking there was unlimited shrimp and lobster and steak. And there were attendants in the bathroom. There were makeup artists ready for anybody who wanted their makeup redone. It was so absurd and over the top that I don't even think I've seen anything like that in any of the websites that I've looked at with weddings. This wedding was just, they rented out an entire floor of a mall in Minneapolis downtown. It was absurd. There were limos. Everybody arrived at the city center in Minneapolis in a limo. Shit you not.
Did the couple stay together?
Nope.
How did you know? I mean, how would you know? I mean, that's classic.
Yeah. I think they were divorced several years after. So, you know, all that money just down the drain. It was a party is what it was.
Yeah. And you get to, I guess, have memories of the $200,000 party, but where that could go. Just... Oh my God, where that could go. And it's all in one day.
Could have bought
a
fucking home for that.
Especially in 1980 something. Could have bought a fucking great home. Yeah, and furnished it. A huge home for that in 1980 something. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's great. What else we got today?
All right. Second story. I have a cousin who is a year younger than me. She used to be such a quiet, shy girl. But when my uncle, her dad, packed up his family and moved to Mississippi, things got a bit out of hand. When she was 16, she got pregnant by a guy who claimed to be 17. He was, in fact, 23. He kept the baby, but my aunt and uncle raised him more than my cousin did. A year and a half later, she got pregnant again by a different guy. The previous guy buggered off once my uncle found out he was a lot older than he claimed. Again, she kept the baby, and it seemed like she was actually going to own up to the fact that she was 18 and had two kids. She moved in with a guy who lived in his parents' trailer, and things got settled down for a while. Now, the story goes on. It wasn't long before she tired of having to deal with kids, so she decided to give the youngest kid up for adoption.
Oh, God.
My uncle's sister had been trying with her husband to have a kid for a long time, and she jumped at the chance to adopt. Well, things just got weird from there. Not only was the adoption process long and complicated, but for a while, it looked as if my cousin's boyfriend and parents were going to cause some trouble. They backed off, but my cousin, who had recently totaled her car, told my aunt, the one that was adopting, that the only way she was going to give up this child was if my aunt bought her a new car.
Wow.
So basically, you're trading a child for a car.
Yeah, and God, that takes a special type of craziness to say something like that.
It really does. She said that was a slap in the face to just about everybody in the family. She eventually relented and the adoption went through without any further problems. So her older kid is being raised by his grandparents, while the younger kid holds the dubious distinction of being both child and first cousin of my cousin. Every time I think about this situation, my head hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. People and their ways of making life utterly chaotic for those around them.
Well, and to not really give two shits about the kid, like, well, I'll give you the kid, but I need a car.
No, yeah, viewing it completely as like a token to, yeah. to trade
yeah,
off.
Yeah, like currency.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up. I do not understand the thinking of some people, but I just have to relegate to understanding that I'm not going to understand a lot of people. And they, other than some people don't have any feelings for other human beings, I believe. And it's solely about them, and everything is material. People too. And are treated as such.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know how someone would operate like that with their own child, but I wonder the same thing every fucking day in my world. Where it's like, huh, that's interesting. But it's just, it's baffling. It's utterly baffling.
It is baffling. And the only thing that I can attribute it to is the fact that we're talking about a very young girl
mm-hmm.
to have two kids at this point. I mean, she's barely mature herself. So, you know, I could see her going, well, you know, I could use a new iPhone, you know, I need a new car, whatever. You know, what can I get because I have something they want, you know?
But it's a kid.
I know. That's the thing.
That's the thing. It's a kid. I get some being selfish and young and saying things like this to get something they want, but it's a fucking kid. So you don't get the car. You don't give the baby then that would you don't want and would have a much better life because you didn't get what you wanted. How do you... At any age, how do you go to bed at night and sleep and are okay with it? But these people are probably the ones that sleep lovely all night.
I guarantee it. It's the ones with the conscience that are lying awake at night wondering what tomorrow is going to bring.
Like you'd be in fear, like if you said something like that, but it was like taken out of context or you didn't mean to say something or someone took it some way. You just sit there worrying, oh my God, did they take it like that? That'd be horrible. No, this mm-hmm. person just fucking flat out says it. I want a car for a baby.
Yeah. Jesus. Anywho.
Yeah.
All right. Our next story, and this person, they said it makes my head hurt. I completely understand. Because as I'm sitting here reading it, I've got my head like in my hand, like, ouch, mm-hmm. this just hurts.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Buckle up for this one, kids. My aunt recently informed me that my single dad, who is 65, is only willing to date women under the age of 30. I am 20. My sister is 40. So they've got a 20-year difference. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
It is so disgusting to me how he wants to date someone younger than his oldest daughter and someone who's close to my age. I feel revolted. My mom has been going insane since I told her. Since I told her that me and my husband are pregnant at 15 weeks, I am the youngest of my siblings and the first to make a baby. So she and my dad are over the moon. However, there are a couple of frustrations here, and I'm wondering if I'm overreacting. Last year, my parents, in a moment of anger, drove 7 hours away and bought a house after years of manipulating me and my husband to stay close to them and get pregnant. So he and I decided we are on our own as a family unit. And that brought me out of the fog. My parents have had a hard time with me not being codependent and in the fog with them anymore. And I'm happy and I have clarity now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop for just a second. Parents drove 7 hours away and bought a house just to manipulate.
So they purposely moved away from the child.
That's what it sounds like.
Like, is it a move of like, oh, yeah, she'll follow us no matter what?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so they wanted to stay close to them and have their kids get pregnant. First of all, that's none of your fucking business, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Just going to say that. All right, continuing on. When we saw them 6 weeks ago, my mom started crying that she can't believe I'm pregnant without her. Well, you're the one who moved away, Mom.
Yeah.
She never thought I would be pregnant and she would live so far away. Guilt trip, guilt trip, guilt trip, it says. Yeah. I realize I'm sounding harsh here, but Mom has a history of gaslighting and needing to always be the victim. Mm-hmm. During the same visit, Mom tried to convince me that she is the pregnancy expert and my symptoms are self-created, such as morning sickness. Well, that's well documented that that's a real thing. She said she could just talk herself out of it. Why can't I do the same? Dear God. She also kept trying to catch me when I said I either couldn't eat something or was having crazy food aversions. For example, I told her I was having a bit of an aversion to red meat. We were looking for places for dinner, and I said we could go to a barbecue place, thinking that they would have sides like mac and cheese and cornbread, things like that, that I could eat.
Yeah.
Mom said loudly, I thought you couldn't eat red meat, so which is it?
Oh, I love that.
There are several other instances of this, including her trying to get me to eat a shrimp cocktail right after I threw up. Good God. So first of all, we know morning sickness is real. Well, it exists.
Yeah.
Some women have to be hospitalized because they can't keep any food down.
Yeah.
I've heard of some women who absolutely love certain foods that when they're pregnant, they can't be anywhere near them. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all real things. And you would think your own mom would be kind and, you know, sympathize with you that, you know, well, I never experienced this and I'm sorry you're going through it.
That's the problem. There's so many people that if they didn't experience it, if they didn't see it, it must not exist. And if they just hear about it from somebody else, they can't somehow, you know, be sympathetic or empathetic and put themselves in another situation because it wasn't them. I mean, it's narcissism is what it is. Yeah. And the passive aggressive, well, I thought you couldn't do that. So what is it? I cringe when I hear that. That sounds very familiar to me.
I heard you cringing. I could feel it.
Where you hear some, I've heard things like that my whole life, where it's like you say, express something. And then it's like, well, I thought you said this. Like a gotcha. Like,
yep.
Like, well, let's talk about context. And then you can usually explain it because there's a reason. And it's like, oh, well, that's not what I thought. Or like, fucking thought wrong. But those sort of things can be brought up in a very kind way of like, hey, you know, barbecue, but that's meat, honey. Are you sure that you want that? And then like,
and oh, that's an appropriate response.
Then you could be like, it's sides. Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking that way. You're, that's a great idea, but not, well, I thought it wasn't that. So what is it?
So accusatory. Yeah. It's like you said, it's this gotcha moment. Like, why do you have to have these gotcha moments in your relationship? If you don't understand something, simply ask.
I think it's people who don't have a lot of fulfillment in their life in other areas. And all they really kind of get a joy out of is getting gotchas out of other people. And it's such a trite thing to get too, because you feel good for like half a second. Like, oh, I figured that out. Like, you're right, I guess, but is anybody happier now? You just upset the person the way you said it, and you are looking like a bitch.
Exactly. So, yeah. So like, oh, yeah. You've got the bullseye on you now.
Let's all absolutely go eat. Let's go have a lovely dinner together now. Yeah. No, that's that passive aggressive narcissistic shit. So many people do that. And I don't know if they're aware of it. I think it's just a repetition thing, because I think it's one of those things where their parents did it. And so that's all they know. And they're going to repeat it and do the same thing. And I think a lot of people are completely oblivious that it makes others uncomfortable the way that they present things like that.
Ugh, it's just yuck.
Yeah.
Well, and the story continues here. So it says, Mom told me that when the baby is born, she'll be moving in with me and my husband for 2 weeks. Some issues with this. Mom has MS and can't lift anything or really help out. She does nothing for her MS, including basics like going for short walks or yoga or anything to build her strength. She is retired and sits in a recliner and plays on her phone all the time. That's a little judgy, but we're going to let that roll.
So you get to be, she gets to be a second burden in the house.
A newborn baby.
You're trying to care for your baby and you have another person to entertain and keep alive.
Yeah. So she said, I tried to ask her today what she envisions her time with us after baby is born will look like, meaning will she be doing dishes, helping with the laundry, helping with litter boxes, etc., or will she just want to hold the baby? And she goes, I am first in line to meet this baby. Then my dad said, you cannot take this away from her. We will hire a maid.
Yeah. Good for dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Husband and I even talked about not telling anyone when I'm in labor and waiting a few days just so we can be alone with my baby and have my body recover. Now, that's something that I want to point out. If somebody in your life is pregnant, you need to listen to what they have to say after that baby is born. If they don't want anybody around for a week, or, you know, I'm going to have you on call in case I need help, but I don't want you just showing up. We're in the age of COVID now. Mm-hmm. You cannot just show up at somebody's house, especially with a newborn whose immune system is not yet where it needs to be.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. And it was unacceptable even before the pandemic, but you can't just show up and hang out at somebody's house because they had a baby unless they've asked you specifically to do so.
Yeah. Blech. No, I completely agree. But then you get people that will throw on the guilt trip if there's anything that goes against what they want to do. They being the people who did not have the baby, but just want to be part of the excitement. And yeah. It's like, look, we got to do this. It's like, well, you know, fine if they feel that way. No,
unreal.
It's not about you. It's about this. But everybody makes everything about them.
Yes, they do. She goes on to say, separately, I learned through a sibling that she and my mom talk every day about what they're buying for my baby. I asked them to tell me what they're buying. And my mom responded, it's a surprise. You just need to enjoy the gifts. Yeah. Well, I mentioned if they have money to throw around that they can look on my registry and get the things we actually need.
Yeah.
My mom's response was to get a credit card to Baby Gap so she could keep buying cute baby clothing. I have a feeling that I'm more like an incubator here. Over the weekend, I told my mom about a pregnancy symptom that I'm experiencing, and she said it never happened to her. So I told her she's lucky because my friends are going through it too. Then she said, well, I was pregnant for a total of 3 years, so something must be wrong with all of you. I swear, if she tries to give me critiques on breastfeeding or anything else, I will absolutely lose my shit.
Boundaries. This is where the boundaries come up. And she's going to have to not just sit there and take it and go insane from it. This is where she needs to take some action herself because, yeah, you can sit there and you can complain and, you know, that mom's fucking crazy because she is. But you need to take some steps here and not just hide in the corner and just take it. You're going to have to do something. Now, it may not work, but it will at least set those bounds and at least keep the person out of your house, hopefully, even if they are offended or mad. And you're going to feel guilty, guaranteed, but you need those boundaries. And in some time, hopefully they respect them and you can have a relationship that is not going to drive you up a fucking wall. Because it probably is, the mom does love this daughter, but she's a narcissist and she's, you know, very much into what she wants. And that's kind of it. But you can have a relationship of some sort, but you have to be the one that steps up and says, these are the boundaries. Because there's no way in hell she's going to do it. There are no boundaries for her. You're her kid. And she thinks that she can do and say anything she wants.
What an odd thing to do to your daughter. I guess I don't understand that. I don't come from a situation where, I mean, at times maybe my mom could be overbearing, but if I told her, whoa, stop, mm-hmm. she stopped. And I just can't imagine like conspiring with my husband to say, let's not tell anybody when I'm in labor because I don't want these people coming around uninvited. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's, you're adding on so much trauma to something that's, again, supposed to be an exciting thing, but mm-hmm. all you're doing is thinking of, oh dear God, if these family members find out, they're just going to like swarm us. Mm-hmm. And that's such an unfair thing to have to think about during a time when you're actually pushing a human being out of your body.
Yeah, it shouldn't be about entertaining the crowd with the party pleaser, which is the child at the moment. It should be, okay, we're going to have the kid, you know, appreciate your well wishes. And when we're ready, we'll all get together and you can meet the kid. If you're not invited right now, it's not that we don't care about you or don't love you. It's what we need right now. It's kind of like the wedding thing earlier where it's do what you need in that situation because it's your day. It's your child. It's your situation. Narcissists feed on people who are givers. And that makes givers go fucking crazy because you really, you mean well, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but you're also then going to have these people that latch onto you that are just going to want to take. And it's scary because sometimes you see these sides of people come out that you didn't think those people had those type of sides. And it can really fuck with your idea of your family and whose role is what as you get older. But again, reality is what it is, and you can't really argue with it. But that's where you can have to have those boundaries. It doesn't mean cut everybody out. It means have boundaries and then, you know, play it as it goes and take it day by day. Because
Oh, go ahead.
You can't predict people and what they're going to do.
No. And the other thing I just kind of want to point out is you're having a baby. You are becoming a parent. It is time to protect that child from the things that drive you nuts.
Yeah.
It's your turn now to step up and be in charge. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have been the child, but now you're the parent. And it is time for you to grow a set of balls and say, here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. This is my life. This is my family. This is my child. Here's what I need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what needs to happen in so many cases. Otherwise, it turns into chaos. Utter fucking chaos. So, yeah. Good times there. I'm glad I'm not having any more children. I have mine and I'm good because those can be really stressful years with the mother-in-laws on any side. It just there seems to be a lot of parents that and I can't speak to it because I'm not a parent of an adult. But there seems to be a lot of parents that never stop looking at their children as with the emotional maturity that they had when they were 8 as opposed to when they're 38. They still look at the child as they're almost helpless and they need constant direction and all of that, where it's like, no, this is an emotionally mature adult and you should treat them as such. They're still the same person that you created, but they're an adult. So it's not going to work well if you keep talking to them like they're 8.
Yeah, it's not setting a really good foundation for a solid relationship for the adult kids and for the newborn. It just really sets up a lot of stress and dysfunction that nobody needs.
Well, we talk so much about parents fucking up their kids when they're kids. I think parents can do just as much damage when they're adults as well. Yeah. I mean, especially if you come from a place where it's like, it was relatively peaceful. And then as an adult, it's like, who the fuck are these people?
Like, oh, shit.
What did something like, did they get beamed out into space and you came back as a different person? Because this is not what I fucking remembered. And maybe that explains half the time when parents are like, I don't remember that. I don't have any recollection of that. I swear to God, like half my childhood did not occur when I talk to my parents sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that was the same for me on my dad's side. If I ever brought anything up, it was like, that didn't happen.
No.
You're like, I remember what I was wearing when it happened. I know it happened.
They're very quick to bring up embarrassing situations that involve me and then laugh about it. And it's like, oh, you brought that up the last time you visited and the last time and the time before that. And actually leading back to the actual date in 1998, you've brought this up a lot. Is something you kind of haven't gotten over, it seems, but you find a lot of joy in pointing out, you know, youth, you know, indiscretions or things that one did when they were younger and wasn't the brightest choice. And I get so sick of that. I hear that stuff all the time. Like, remember that time? And it's usually a very twisted version of what reality was. And you try and like, no, this is really how it went. And this is how I was. No, it's not. Well, do you remember this? No, That never happened.
Yeah, it was happening at the exact time of what you're talking about. So the fact that you don't remember that just means you're not remembering anything, right?
I know. And it's like, I wonder sometimes, like, do you really truly not remember? Or do you just not? And it's not even like accusatory shit or anything like that. It's just basic memories of events and things and places and stuff that we did, like, that stood out. And it's usually positive if I'm bringing it up. But I'll get, I don't recall that very much. Like, okay. I think some people really like to latch on to the negatives and the stuff that makes them feel good because it wasn't them doing something silly. And that's what lasts. And that's sad. I don't want to be that person when I'm older. I don't want to just like remember the times that my kid fucked up at something and talk about that forever. Like, how about you celebrate like their achievements or the good things? Why are we filling our time together with, you know, you did this one time and I do.
Yeah, you shit your pants once. Remember that?
Remember when you
ate? Who the fuck cares?
It's like, yeah, okay. I don't know how that pertains to today's conversation, but you're uptight. Like, no, I'm not. I'm just a fucking adult.
You're making me uptight by, bringing up shit that nobody wants to remember. Let's talk good stuff. Let's talk about all the wonderful, great achievements I've had since I shit my pants or whatever it is,
Exactly. It's like, why do we keep going back to these things? I don't know. It's a thing that exists, and I think a lot of people deal with it, and you wish you could change that, but I've given up on those sort of things long ago, where it's like, okay, just change the subject and not engage.
Well, it does keep therapy and therapists in business, I think that's a really good thing.
It does. It really, like, without crazy parents, there would be no industry for that.
No.
So, yeah. All right. Is that all we got for today?
That's it. All right. Without the crazy parents, we would not have a podcast.
Exactly. So keep being crazy and driving your family insane. Go to crazyfampod.com and share your crazy family story with us, or 833-CRAY-FAM, 833-272-9326 to share your crazy family stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My
crazy
family.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
My crazy.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Family.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.